Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for being here in my talk. There are several factors that affect the distribution of nematodes in general within a field. These factors can be biological, related to the nematode, also related to the crop. Other factors can be environmental, and edaphic factors can also affect the distribution. Soil texture, there is evidence that is a very good predictor of nematode densities. That is the case of for Lance nematode and also for Rugnong nematode. That is very recognized that these two nematodes prefer sandy soils. However, in the case of Reniform, there is some clear information about the distribution of these nematodes within a field. There are some studies that say that the distribution of Reniform is mainly uniform within a field. However, others say that Reniform prefers silty soils, and others say that Reniform is mainly present in heavier soils with higher clay content. So knowing all these aspects about the Reniform distribution, the main objective that we have for our study is to determine the spatial distribution of Reniform nematode in cotton agroecosystems in South Carolina. We also wanted to determine if the distribution of Reniform has any relationship with soil type or texture. So to understand the distribution of a nematode is very important in order to improve management practices and also to build better sampling strategies. So to understand the distribution of Reniform within a field, we picked two fields in South Carolina, one in Bishopville and the other in San Mateos. And we picked these two fields because the first one, the one in San Mateos, was mostly pure Reniform with high preplanting densities of this nematode, while the other field, the one in Bishopville, was a mix with other plant parasitic nematodes such as Columbia Lance and also root knot, with low preplanting densities of Reniform. So the idea of with these two fields was try to compare if densities of Reniform has also an effect in the distribution of this nematode. So from now, I'm also going to name the first field as a microscale field and the second one the microscale field because of the sampling strategy that we use. For the first field, the microscale field, we collected 40 soil samples across the entire field in order to see the distribution in a wide scale. For the second field, the microscale field, we picked three plots because we wanted to see what happened with the distribution of Reniform in a very fine scale. And in each plot, we collected soil samples in 20 sites. In both fields, in each point, we determined the soil type and texture and also the Reniform densities in order to compare what happened with if there is any relationship between Reniform densities and percentages of sand, silt, and clay. We also wanted to see if the distribution is affected by the growing season, by the phenology of the crop across the growing season. So we collected these 40 samples for the microscale and 20 samples per plot for the microscale field at planting and mid-season and at harvest. And we performed some special statistics analysis to see how was the distribution, and we performed correlation analysis with soil type and texture. So here, these are the results for the first field, the microscale field, the one that we collected samples at the 40 points. And here, you can see the Reniform densities. These are the average for the 40 points at planting in season and at harvest. And one characteristic that I mentioned of this field is that the Reniform densities were high, were closer to 2,000, and we didn't see any significant difference between planting at mid-season. But however, there was a significant increase in the Reniform densities at harvest. So we use an ordinary kriging technique to see how was the growing of the densities in this field. So this technique interpolates the point that we call the sample points to unsampling points. So here you can see the Reniform densities, that the ones that are in blue are the lowest Reniform densities, smaller than 500. And the ones that are in bright red are the highest densities for this field that are greater than 4,000. So at planting, you can see that there are a lot of area in the field that have the lowest densities. At mid-season, still we have some areas that have the lowest densities of Reniform, with only one spot that was with high densities. But at harvest, it's very notorious how the Reniform densities increase with only a few spots that have the lowest densities. So now that we know how the densities of Reniform grow across the time in this field, we use another index that is called the dispersion index. And this index measures how dispersed all the densities are clustered. When this index is smaller than one, the distribution is uniform, but when it's greater than one, the distribution is aggregated. So we use this index for this field at planting mid-season at harvest, and we found that the distribution was clustered at three sampling dates, being much greater than one for the three. Now that we know that the distribution of reniform is clustered, we use another index that is called Moran-Seid. This index also measures the dispersion, if dispersed of this cluster, but this index goes from minus one to one. When it's greater to zero, that means that the distribution is clustered, and when it's smaller to zero, that means the distribution is dispersed. But the good thing about this index is that we can see how big are the clustering, and we can measure this against the distances. So here are the distances that we use for this field that were from 20 to 160, trying to cover all 40 points in the field. And we have the results for planting, mid-season, and harvest. And we didn't find any significant difference in the clustering in this field. That can be because of the sampling scale that was too wide. So you can see that the distribution or the clustering was around zero. So we didn't find any clear tendency. So when we evaluated the soil type for this field, we found three soil types that were loamy sand, sandy clay loam, and sandy loam. But when we do the correlation analysis, we didn't find any significant correlation with soil type and reniform densities. These are the results for the first field. But now for the microscale field, the one when you use the three plots and the sampling was in a finer scale. As I mentioned, we have other nematodes present in this field. Here are the reniform densities at plant, mid-season, and harvest. An important characteristic of this field is that the reniform densities are lower compared to the microscale field. And here you can see the difference in the three plots. So for instance, for plot two, we didn't find significant difference across time, and being the density is closer to zero at the three sampling dates. However, in the other two plots, we found that the tendency in the densities of reniform to increase across time being significant at harvest, and this significant was higher in plot three. When we use Moran-Seid to see how are the densities, how are the reniform densities in this field, here are the densities of reniform. The values that are in bright green are equals to zero, and the highest values in this field are in bright red that are greater than 3,900. So we have a plant at mid-season and a harvest for the three plots. In plot one at plant, we didn't find any reniform present, but it's clear how the reniform densities increase across time. So we can see that in plot two and three, there is the lowest densities across the field. At mid-season, we can find some spots that are higher. However, it's notorious how that in plot three and plot one at harvest, the densities of reniform significantly increase. But in plot two, we didn't, densities of reniform never reached the highest densities for this field. But remember that this plot was the one that the densities were closer to zero across time. Now that we know how the densities grow across time in this field, we also performed the dispersion index to see if the distribution was clustered or dispersed. So here we have the results at plant and mid-season and a harvest for the three plots, and we found that the distribution was clustered because all values were greater than one in the three plots at the three sampling dates. And if you compare this data, most of this data with the microscale, the clustering is stronger in the microscale field compared with the macro scale field. So when we use Moran-Seid to see how big are the clustering for reniform in this field, here we have the Moran-Seid for the three plots at planting season at harvest, and the distances that we used to see the clustering were from 8 to 18, covering the size of each plot. So for plot one, we didn't find any reniform present, but it's very clear how in plot three at plant, we found significant clustering up to 12 meters. At mid-season, we didn't find any clear tendency. However, again, for plot three, up to 10 meters, we found that the clustering was present, and again, we found that in 16 meters. And in plot two, all distances were significant. So the clustering for reniform in these three plots are different. And in plot one, we didn't find any pattern clear. So now we know that we have clustering, but in some cases it's significant, in some not. We performed the soil type analysis, and we found that plot one and plot three both have the same soil type, but were sandy loam, with only one one sample in each plot that was different, so we can classify these two plots as standalone. But for plot two, we found a mixture of soil types, but was mainly clay loam. When we performed the correlation analysis, I only going to show that harvest because it was in the one that we found significant clustering. So here we have the three plots and rainfall densities versus percentage of sand and percentage of clay. And we found that were only significant with for plot three with percentage of sand and also with in this same plot with percentage of clay. And the significance was also present at, with percentage of clay in plot two. However, the question is now, why if plot three and plot one have the same soil type, both and sandy loam, why we only found differences or significance in plot three and not in plot one? So in our experiments, the only difference that we saw was the reniform densities. So the reniform densities for plot one were lower compared to plot three. So probably the reniform densities have any impact in the distribution of reniform within a field. And in plot two, we found significant, although the densities were very low, but remember that this has a different soil type. So with this, we can say that, as I mentioned at the beginning of my presentation, there are several factors that affect the distribution of nematodes within a field. However, related with soil texture and reniform, to see if there is any distribution or how is the distribution, it's very important to consider the sample scale, because some patterns that we can see in this finer scale sampling are not detected in probably in a wider scale sampling. However, in both scales, in our case, we found that the reniform distribution is clustered, and probably population densities also have any effect in the distribution of reniform nematode and the presence of other plant parasitic nematodes. So now we are performing some analysis with other plant parasitic nematodes that were present in this field. With this, I would like to thank the people that have helped me, mainly with the field work, and the people at Clemson, and the people that provide the funding. Thank you so much.
Didn't have anything in there about biological control and that having an impact on the nematode distribution. Did you consider that? Look for that at all?
No, we haven't done that because now we are trying to understand how is the distribution of reniform. So. Yeah, probably it should have. As I said at the beginning of my presentation and at the end.
What might you do then if you wanted to consider biological control being what governs the distribution rather than
general? Probably biological control can have, but I think it has relationship also with the environment that are present on different soil types and also the moisture. There is a conjugation of things. Yeah, I think so because of the size of the nematodes, the movement of the nematodes. So probably initially could be physical rather than biological. But I think, yeah, there are many factors that affect the distribution, so biologically it can be one of those.
Mm-hmm. The general thought has been, for us, especially in extension, has been that root knot and lannets are aggregated based upon sand in your soils. The general feeling is that reniform nematodes are more likely to be found across the field and without relationship to the detection. That's what we teach our growers. You're saying something different here. What's the difference now between what we have believed and what you're finding? Why is there a difference?
Yeah, there is unclear information about the reniform distribution, so now we can say that the distribution is mainly dependent. Soil type has an effect, definitely, but to see that difference, the sampling scale, especially to determine if there is difference, the sampling scale is very important, and the reniform densities, because that has a high impact. For instance, in the Carolinas or in South Carolina, reniform densities are lower compared to the other states, such as Alabama or Louisiana. So we can say that the distribution in the field that we have the microscale can be wider or more uniform compared to the others that are more clustered. So we can say that the distribution is related with densities. I can say that for the information that we have so far. We collected four samples in 1 square meter in each point.
Out of which field do you
Yeah, it doesn't matter the field. So also for the microplots, for the ones that we divided the plots, we collected for samples in one scale meter.